must have a little problem.
I'm here.
Oh, Steve's there. Good. Okay.
Right.
They're just hiding in the background.
Coming in and out. So.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, you know, one thing that I've noticed is the more someone engages, whether, you know, like the exercises, you know, you teach or you just, you know, we just go there, it really, it's a strong development in your spiritual senses.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because like, I mean, just in other things, you know, I think because I intentionally try to go there, it just seems to awaken so many other aspects of concerning my spiritual senses just in my everyday life. Like a small example, last night I heard my granddaughter's voice, but I heard her voice. I mean, not like just audibly, but I heard her voice in a way that I'd never heard it before.
Yeah.
And so I thought, whoa, I've been communicating with her, and all of a sudden I heard the sound of her voice just from a whole, and I realized, oh my goodness, that's my senses, my spiritual senses is, you know, tapping into that. And then I realized I was just thinking it. This was the other thing. It was a thought. And I heard the sound of her voice and heard it in a way that I hadn't heard it before.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh my goodness. And it was a previous sound also. So I'm like, oh, my memory has sound. My thought has sound. And I'm just really, you know, just picking up on all of this. And then it just hit me. I thought, you know what? I mean, I've done that probably many times, but not being conscious of it.
Yeah.
But I just realized that all these different, you know, engagements that I'm doing now, you know, in my time with the Lord, all this stuff, that it's heightened my spiritual senses, and I'm just picking up things and anyhow.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I mean, I think that's when we begin to understand how God communicates and how the spirit realm communicates, it's all about frequency of vibrations that our body is actually designed to pick up. You know, our body is designed to pick up frequency, and our body is, you know, 68% water. Water carries frequency 4 times faster than air. So when we're sensitive to, and our spirit, if our spirit is what we're doing is essentially we're developing our spirit so it's bigger than our body and is creating a spiritual atmosphere around us, and we're filling that atmosphere with the river of life flowing out from us. Well, that becomes very sensitive to vibrations in the unseen realms, and that then we pick those vibrations up. And if we're developing like the river of life around us, and that is in a sense a different atmosphere to air. And so that is connecting with that realm, sending back information to us. Our body picks it up. It then basically sends it to the brain, because virtually every organ of the body is connected to the ear. And so that is where the sensitive to the pressure changes or vibration frequencies is picked up, and our brain interprets it either as sometimes we see it, so it interprets it as what we're seeing, or we're hearing it, or we're sensing it, or we're receiving the emotion of it. And as we actually get our spirit growing around us, and we're then ruling that atmosphere, then we can deliberately send our spirit to receive those vibrations. So we can then choose to look into it and say, ah, this is here, that's here. You know, we all do it involuntarily. We walk into a room and we get that sense of a shiver, or you walk into a room and there's an atmosphere, you know, and you know there's been anger, or there's, and you sense it, and those senses are just the same thing. You're picking up what's in there, because basically the memory of everything is in the fabric of the room. Mm. You know, it doesn't go, it's stored. So we can be sensitive to the past, of a place or a thing, or we can see what is here now. So when you start engaging your spirit, it becomes more and more sensitive to the frequencies, and as you say, you begin to pick it up. And then if you carry those things in your heart, you carry people like your granddaughter, you carry in your heart, then that gives you access to her in a different realm.
Yeah.
And then you can begin to invest into the next generation and the generations from what you have within you. Because if you carry her in your heart, whenever you step into the realm of heaven, she goes with you.
Yeah, I like that.
That then sensitizes her, and so you pick up more about her life and the things that are around her, and that's in a sense how it works, you know. But we can tune into it and choose to tune into it. So for me, when I choose to look into the unseen realm, my spirit engages it like sonar, and I get a picture that's bounced back in terms of what's there spiritually in the room and what's going on, you know. So fortunately, I've learned to turn it on and off. So I don't, you know, I don't do it an awful lot, because it can be really distracting to, if you're speaking to a group of people and you're sort of like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you see this color coming off of that. So, but yeah, when I need to do it, I can do it, you know. And I obviously, if God wants to touch me with something, then I'm always open to be sensitive to the touch. But it does develop. It develops with use. The more we use it, the more use that it gets, and the more sensitive it gets, you know, and the easier it becomes to discern. You know, and if you think, you know, Jesus discerned the thoughts of people's hearts. You are reasoning in your heart. Well, how did he do that? Well, A, because he carried the nation in his heart. So he had access to connect, you know. But, you know, so yeah, I mean, it's great. And I think, you know, the more people practice, the better it gets, and the more sensitive you become to things. So,
you know, that I like that, because some time ago, I was taking like family members, friends into courts with me, but it was not so much a judicial situation, but just I was just honoring the Lord. It was in a place of adoration, and I would bring them in with me.
Yeah,
and you know, just saw the participation. But this also reminds me of when I had that wardrobe experience. I actually took Lori, my wife, in with me, because I was, you know, praying for her for healing in areas of her body and stuff. So she literally appeared with me in that, you know, in that realm where there was an exchange that took place, where she took off one thing and was taken on another. And I shared that with her afterwards. You know, I was like, wow, you were there. And she felt the impact of it. And so, yeah, I guess I didn't think about it intentionally in the sense of how you're describing that. So, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so much more that we're learning all the time, you know. It's just a journey of discovery.
Yeah, when you mentioned about the mountain, or I was telling you about the mountain going into it, I've been trying to venture more. It's, you know, it's just amazing. But I still haven't met Enoch and
well, to be honest, some of those things, there are places you can go to engage with people you feel drawn to. So you can go to the wine room and drink the wine of the testimony of their lives, and that opens up for a revelation. You can actually go to the scroll room, and you can read people's scrolls in the sense of people who are no longer alive, and find out things, you know. And you know, I must admit, most of the men in white linen I've seen have been more them coming to me Adam was one I wanted to ask some things about, so I did search out Adam and go and talk to him. That was when I was just playing with this stuff. I think, I'd really like to know what happened there. So I, so I got, you know, it was a bit of a shock, really, but recently, you know, it's one of those things, the desire of your heart will lead you towards that which is part of your destiny, and the intersection of people, whether present or past, the kingdom is all about those connections and relational connections and intersections. And, you know, they come across our path. And I think, you know, if we have a desire for a particular person or a situation, then I think we get drawn towards it, and they get drawn towards that as well, because they sense that. Because everything really is about the desires of our heart. It's what do we, how do we frame the desires of our heart? How do we, because God will answer the desires of our heart. So how do we frame it according to what his desire is? You know, what is our destiny? Therefore, our heart is drawn towards our personal destiny because we're connected in that way. Excuse me. But we have to frame it. And you know, when you frame anything, when you desire anything, you have to look at it and fix your thoughts and your attentions and your emotions on it. Right. You know, I was just sharing with a previous group that, you know, when I'm, you know, I like geeky toys, you know, and boys' toys and technology and stuff. But when I get drawn to something, I will create the desire for that in my heart. I will read about it. I might even download the manual for a particular thing and look at it to see what it can do, make sure it's the thing I want. I will go and find a forum that has all the people who've used this thing before, have got all the problems it might have, all the answers that they've solved. I just find out about it. And what it does is my attention is put on it, and it creates in me a desire to go and buy it, because I focused on it, and the desires of my heart are drawn. Well, we need to do that for the things of God and for our destiny, and begin to focus our desire, so that creates that desire. The desire gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Then it just leads, and God then begins to fulfill the desires of our heart. And so, when it comes to positions of authority that we know we're called to, we can desire that. But then when it comes to people and situations, we can then begin to develop those desires of those people that are in our hearts, so that those desires can be released. So it all comes down to pursuit of those desires. And I think some people just want God to give them the desire. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Spend time with God, an intimate time with God, then his heart and your heart become entwined, and they become joined. So when I go around the ark every day, one of the first things I want to do is I want to open my heart, and I want to begin to feel the heart of God, and I want his heart written on my heart, because he says he writes things on the tablets of our heart. So I open it, and I look to engage his heart. You know, I can get his will for the day, which I do as a mandate. What's your will? What do you want me to do? But I also want to be drawn. I want my desires and my heart to draw me and lead me to the things in life and in the kingdom that are aligned with that desire. And I find that my heart just draws me, and I sort of find, I want to go here, and I want to see this, and I want... Because something, when I've been connected intimately with God, he's just unveiled something more of his desires for me, that then they begin to shape me. And I find I didn't have a desire for that before, but now I want to know about that. I want to find out about it. I need to go and talk to someone about this, or go into heaven in a particular realm and engage it. And it all comes out of that intimacy with God. You know, and being in the place where we're open for that connection, and then the desires that get out of our heart really are the things that, when they're fulfilled, they bring oh, they just bring an amazing sense of satisfaction and peace and, hey, I'm just doing what I was created for, you know, and I feel just I'm in the flow of what my destiny is, and everything changes really in that. But it takes time. You cannot create a relationship without the time investment of time. You know, when I have set my desire on something, I invest time. You know, and after I've bought the piece of equipment, I'll keep looking at the forums and I'll keep looking at it while I'm getting used to using that piece of equipment. And then when I know everything about it, I'm using it, then those forums will they just drop off my list. And I'll find, you know, because I usually have little, you know, Google Chrome box inboxes of things, you know, tab lists, that I click on it, and there's a whole list of forums and things. Because then it's part of me, you know, and the desire is fulfilled. I'm using it. This is, you know, it's great, you know. And I think it really works like that in the spiritual realm. As we set the desires of our heart on things, you have to pursue it. And really, it's that phrase, you know, you have. You start with desire and you start framing that desire, and then it takes discipline. It just takes discipline to pursue the desire. Because I think a friend of mine used to say, you know, pursuit is the evidence of desire. And if you're not willing to pursue it, you really didn't desire it in the first place. And so you're willing to sacrifice for it.
It
And
reminds
when
me of a saying of Smith Wigglesworth, where he was talking about faith, and he says, "Well, you know, if you don't have faith, then just speak about it, teach about it until you get it, and then when you get it, do it because you have it." And you know, I think that's so true with, you know, I was when you're leaning into desire, that even if you don't have a desire, if you just move toward that, then all of a sudden the desire will develop. I guess I'm thinking of Moses now, where he really didn't have a desire to go and deliver the people. But once he just responded out of obedience to the Lord, then he that desire developed in him. And you know, obviously it was a strong thing in his life from then on. So,
Well, I think that's the truth. When we desire to experience God, then He will always begin to release us and Him and how we're entwined together, release it out, you know. But it does take discipline. You know, you can't experience it without experiencing it. So, and you don't experience it unless you pursue it. And I think for a lot of people, it's the discipline in the middle of desire and delight that never really produces the full fruit and fragrance of manifestation of that delight. And because we do live in a very instant push button, we want it now. And I think that sort of almost even the charismatic movement has promoted that in some way, and so we'll lay hands on you and everything will be okay. And you know, and rather than, you know, imparting a seed so someone else can cultivate and grow, because I believe in impartation, because I think the word teaches it. You know, Paul deliberately went and said, "I want to come and impart some spiritual gift to you," and you know, he encouraged Timothy to stir it and fan into flames the things that had been imparted through things. But the reality is, it will never grow unless you learn to cultivate it. Most people want, hey, I want what you've got. Well, okay, spend the 20 years it's taken me to get it then. You know, well, you're never going to do it. So, okay, I can impart something that will maybe encourage you to pursue cultivating that seed so it produces a plant in your life, which will be your plant, not mine. Then that works. But a lot of people still want, well, lay hands on me, I want your anointing. And you know, it will, you know, you can go to a conference and someone will lay hands on you, and for a few days it's like, wow, I feel this, and then it's like it just fades away if we don't make it ours. So I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to pursue the fruit of the character that comes with it and everything else that comes with these things. Fruit grows and gives given.
Yeah.
You know? And yes, it's great to receive a gift, but the character and fruit has to grow with it. And you don't develop those things by gift. You know, I mean, a relationship doesn't come as a gift. You know, it comes as a relationship, so you pursue it. But it takes time. You know, but for me, there's no now everything wants it. My soul wants it. Everything wants to live in the glory and live in the dual realms of that glory and manifest that glory in what I'm doing and how it affects everything I do in my life. That's what I want. So there is no cost I wouldn't pay because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good and I want more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pursue it with everything I've got. And in a sense, it's looking to encourage people to develop the same hunger and willingness to pursue. You know, and that's why, you know, when I do conferences and things, I'm just looking to encourage people. I open a door for people to step through, and then people have to keep stepping through so it becomes their door.
Yeah, yeah.
And the saddest thing I could think of would be everyone's waiting for me to turn up or go to a hangout or go to this so that I'll open a door for them, you know, and I've no problem doing that to encourage and get the thing moving. But if people then, you ask them, well, have you stepped back into that in the last 2 weeks? What have you done? Oh, well, I've been still waiting until today, you know. Well, this isn't the place for you then, really, because actually personal responsibility is actually, you know, you have to make your own. You know, we have to develop these pathways in our own life. And that means we've got to tread down the pathway over and over and over again until it's a well-trodden path. And literally, you know, in our brain, neural pathways will link and form those links to the memories that are stored in our heart. If we value them enough to repeat them and meditate over them and experience them and step in again and draw from them, then they become a pathway that you can tread on or you can go to. You know, now, for me, all those pathways that I've developed, they're mine. You know, I've developed them, I can walk on them, and I can, by thought, go to any place. I don't have to now follow the river and go up the waterfall and go into the bridge and go into the garden. I can think, I want to be in the garden of God. The desire of my heart is set on the garden of God, and therefore I'm just going to step in.
You know?
Because it's now something that's so part of me that it is integral into me, therefore it's just accessible. Well, it wasn't like that to start with. You know, I had to tread that pathway day by day by day by day.
Right.
It's just I was willing because I tasted something, and I was desperate for the fulfillment of it, that I was willing to tread that path every day. You know, having come out of my original fast and had all these encounters in heaven and, you know, had no idea where they really were. I mean, they were just forerunner experiences that God graced upon me and took me to places and showed me things and did all these things. I didn't know where they were. I mean, I didn't even know I had a garden of my heart until I found... You know, it was in this little place that Jesus took me several times. There's this little tree with a swing and a little bench and a patch of grass no more than 5 yards around. That was it. And I was sat there on the bench talking to him. He was asking me questions. I was talking to him, asking him questions. He was pushing me on the swing sometimes, and we were just having fellowship and fun. You know. And I thought, oh, this must be some place in heaven somewhere. But it seemed quite small. And then one day I had the common sense to ask him, well, where is this? This is the garden of your heart. So then it's like it dawned on me why it was so small, because I'd never been there. I'd never cultivated it. I didn't grow anything in it. And obviously that is the equivalent of Adam and Eve being given the garden to tend and cultivate and then see the river of life flow through and then water the world. And they were supposed to then take that garden and bring the rest of the world into the garden, because their garden was patterned after and overshadowed by the heavenly Eden. So it was supposed to be like the heavenly Eden. God walked there, he walked in their garden, and then that was supposed to be the pattern for the world to be like heaven. But obviously they chose a different pathway, you know, and it all got blocked off. But now it's opened up. So the garden is no longer a physical garden, it's the garden of my heart. And right. that for me is a place, that is my most intimate place, where I love to just go and lie down in green pastures and sit beside quiet waters and just fellowship. And I do most of my talking to God there, in about me and about life and about stuff, and we just share. And that's where I feel loved and accepted. That's my language of love, is just quality time with God. And I hang out there. You know, sometimes, yeah, it's wonderful when you have a need, a source, you need to engage the source to go to the tree of life or to go to the throne of grace. But that's usually about needing something, needing to engage the source and to be filled. I just go into my garden and it's just, that is, this is just me and him. There's no agenda such as, oh, I want to know this, I want to know that. We just talk and we fellowship. Now, sometimes he shares things with me. You know, it's like Psalm 23. But there, for me, is where the tablecloth is. You know, I haven't got a table in my garden filled with lovely things. I have a tablecloth on the grass where we just sit. And sometimes I'll find that he's put things there for me to eat. And there'll be revelation, or there'll be certain truth. And I'll just sort of think, wow, I can eat that. And I just say, wow, how God loves me. You know, I feel loved. You know, and I may not have any sort of warm, fluffy feelings. We've just hung out and we've talked. And that, for me, shows love. Other people, they have sort of experiences or feeling things, and that's what they need. For me, it's just I just know I'm loved in that place. So I love spending time there, you know, and just hanging out, you know. And,
right.
And now my garden is, I've got everything in it. You know, I've got mountains representing the mountains in heaven. You know, that there's, I've got trees that I've planted. You know, because every time I get something an impact in heaven or a revelation or an encounter, I take it back to the garden and I plant it and water it and see it, command it to grow. And then that becomes the testimony. It's planted in the garden of my heart. The memories are stored, you know, and I literally can plant them. And then when I go back and eat the fruit, it takes me back into the encounter. I can give that fruit to others, which is in all the hangouts and all the things I do with activations, I'm just taking of the testimony of a place I've been, and I'm giving it to people to taste. And if they see it's good, then I'm praying and believing that they will then pursue that. Then they will take it as a testimony themselves, plant it in their own garden, and therefore then they can go back to it, because it's just a doorway to engage again and again, you know. Yeah. But it's taken time to do that. You know, I had to learn how to do that. I didn't know that that's what you could do to start with. But it's my garden, and I'm creative. Therefore, I can create flower beds or areas, because it's what I'm supposed to do, you know. And I found I can release that creativity there for things, you know. Yeah. And it's great, because it just flows out of who I am in that creative thing. And you know, when God gave Adam and Eve the animals, you know, they didn't already have long necks and big trunks and all that stuff. He gave them the raw materials and then called them to name them from the creative, because they were made in the image of God that was in them. You know, and literally, we should be terraforming the planet back to the heavenly pattern, because we keep going there and bringing that here to see that flowing out of our lives to change things. And I think we're just learning, and you know, some of the things you've done in terms of changing the weather and doing things is in beginning to impact. But what about when you want to change the course of a river, or,
right,
you know, because it's going to go to a different course and it's going to have an effect in a place? Yeah, Jesus said, okay, what about moving those mountains? Well, we always sort of think, well, yeah, but that's really spiritual, and it's talking about problems, but actually, yes, it is an analogy for that, but actually, why wouldn't we have the authority to do those things? Because this is our planet, and we have been called to rule over it. Yeah. And I think there's a lot more that we're going to discover and realize that we are capable of doing and should be doing once we really begin to press into some of the things in heaven and live there more. You know, I think most of us are still visiting, and those visitations are wonderful, but we're not a habitation there, dwelling there, and continually connected to here. But we will. I believe fully that we will.
Yeah. I think, you know, one thing I really like about this is that it takes it to the next level. I mean, in the sense of engaging, you know, with heaven and Father and all that more intimately and constantly. But it takes it to the next level to where the maturation comes from the idea that you have to participate. Where, yeah, you know, prior leadership, you know, basically, and in fact, you've mentioned this before, like a lot of the ministry that can go on, you know, it's a big business. And so there's kind of this thing where they like it when people are dependent on them. Because, you know, it builds their ministry, it does all this. I don't know if people start out that intentionally thinking that, but it just develops into that. And so it's, I remember some years ago when we started, you know, singing songs to the Lord and just ministering to Him that way, we invited the people to participate. We have no overheads. We don't have any of that. We just follow the Spirit. But it required you to participate at a different level.
Yeah.
So you're just not following whatever, but as the Spirit moves in you and that whole thing. And so I just like how this works, because it's like, look, you have to go in and see it for yourself. You know, I can show you a door. Even when you're talking about drawing, mm-hmm, I know prophetically, when I see something in the Spirit, as soon as I see it, it's drawn toward me,
yeah,
just because I see it. And I like the whole idea about what you're talking about as far as creating motion, being creators on the earth. You know, just I remember times back when the Lord would show me like an empty terrain. Yeah. And we would discuss this at our meeting, and I would say, well, the Lord is saying that you can create whatever you want. It's just an empty terrain because we're not moving in our creative ability. And so, you know, that makes people nervous, because it takes our sonship and sons of God at the next level, you know, and they, you know, they start kind of, you know, I mean, not so much on the home front, but just places out there and or people, I've noticed this, and whether it's things that you teach or other people teaching things like that, people take it out of context.
Yeah,
they'll hear something, or they'll be, oh no. And again, it's just because they're not tasting it for themselves. You know, you need to actually participate and not let the hearsay detour, you know, in a different direction.
But I think that's the difference between Greek and Hebrew culture. The Greek was a very much a more intellectual knowledge, which was mm-hmm. what the key was, where Hebrew culture, there was experience. And you know, there is no, even in that sort of Hebrew culture, there is no sense of, if you know something by intellectual knowledge, you only knew something, you could only say I know something by personal experience. You know, and I think we have created, even with like the Bible, it's a book that people are not engaging the person of the book. You know, it's almost like they think the Bible is God. Well, it's, of course it's not God, but they're not engaging with the person that it's supposed to introduce them to, and therefore it's not real. You know, if I find a verse that God is speaking to me about, I want to live that verse. I want to step into the verse. I want that verse to be in me. I want to treasure it in my heart. I want to live it. I want to experience God from it, and in it, because it's a living word, and really the word's a person. So, you know, the truth is a person. It's all a person. So if I'm not engaging the person, then it's just a letter. Right. You know, and unfortunately, knowledge has been promoted as well, and head knowledge, you know. And if I had, you know, $10 or whatever for every time someone said, "Well, I know it in my head, but I just don't know it in my heart," the reason is because they've not participated, they've not experienced. All they did that they heard someone say about it, which is why I believe that in the new things that God's doing, all that we do must have some encounter attached. You know, so my teaching, whereas, you know, I would teach for an hour and, you know, maybe pray over a few people or do that. Actually, I'd rather teach for 10 minutes and let's have half an hour of engagement.
Yeah.
Because that actually is where you're going to experience this word or not. Because by the time you've gone home and had lunch and done this, you've probably forgotten what I've said. But you won't forget if you actually met with God and he looked you in the face and he touched your heart and he spoke to you and he did this. You won't forget that. But you will forget just listening to me, unless you're really disciplined to go back and listen again and choose to try and encounter. Generally, most people do a sermon and I would say most of it's forgotten unless they have been impacted or the Holy Spirit has touched them in such a way that they're then drawn towards something. And if we offer encounters with God rather than knowledge about God, then we will have people who are following him, because they will absolutely begin to hear his voice and going in and out and find pasture and following into the realms of heaven and bring stuff out from there, because they will just follow after him. But if we give them a prayer to pray and their experience of it was, well, I prayed this prayer and I feel different, they should be transformed. Mm-hmm. If someone has encountered God in salvation, their whole spirit should be alive. They should be seeing colors where they saw gray. Everything should be different. And I wonder whether a lot of people's salvation experiences are just substandard because we've never introduced them to meet with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if we met with Jesus, they would certainly want to follow him. You know, and all Jesus did was say to people, come and follow me. You know, leave everything and come and follow me. Well, I don't think we challenge people to enter a relationship by giving up everything and following him. You know, I can't remember the last time I said to someone, no, go and sell all you have and give to the poor. You know, because we want to make it easier because we're desperately to see people engage with a relationship with God. But actually, are we making it easier, or actually are we introducing something which isn't real? Because the reality is, if you don't choose to deny yourself, take up the cross and follow him, you can't be his disciple. So we might tell you at the beginning, it's going to cost you everything. You don't own yourself anymore, and if he wants you to do this and that, then if you're not willing, then don't follow this route, because it's going to cause you problems. You know, but I think that would create disciples like Jesus had, who turned the world upside down, and we sort of birth premature babies all the time. And then they spend the next several years in an incubator where we're having constantly to try and feed them and nurture them and help them because they were premature and were birthed into the correct thing. And I think God's wanting to change everything we do to make it experiential. And I think when we really catch hold of that, then people's experience with God will be so real that they choose to follow him. They hear his voice. We don't have to tell them what he's saying. They hear it themselves. But it does take a big shift in how we do things, because we're so geared up for the patterns that we've just been brought up with. Now God is challenging all those mindsets. And we have to say, okay, hands up. I've got to think, yeah, that was for then, but now this is for now, and let's embrace something new.
Right.
Throw out all the old stuff that actually is no longer working anyway, because God has removed his grace from most of it. So let's embrace something new where his presence and his glory is in it. And let's see. Let's see what God does when we introduce people to him. Yeah. And they know that they know that they know that they've met him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do we
you got any other questions?
We have time for a little exercise?
Yeah, unless any of the other guys want to ask anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, you got it?
Or I'm just listening, enjoying.
All right, okay.
Which is unusual for me, I know, but...
Torna, have you got anything, Torna, you want to share? Nope, or ask? Nope. All right, fair enough. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure we can do so. Where do you want to engage? I mean, the difficulty is I obviously don't know where sort of, I know you, Mike, have been everywhere and we've done some things. Where have the other guys been? You know,
what? I'm a baby at this.
Okay.
I've been buddies with Mike forever, and he's tapped into this, and he talks about it. And I just was intimate with the Lord one time, and I said, I gotta find a new way. This is too hard. And so he said, ask Mike, and so I did. And Mike invited me, and so here I am. And
okay, fair enough. And we've talked a lot about the garden of the heart. So maybe that would be a good place to,
yeah,
to begin to engage. I mean, it's certainly a place we really need to encounter God in and experience Him in it. So I think that might be a good place to go. And the key to everything in these things is don't try hard, just relax and allow your spirit to begin to engage. As soon as you try to do it, then you're using the left side of your brain to work it out. And it comes just by relaxing and allowing the right side of your brain, the creative part, and your spirit just to begin to give you senses or impressions or pictures or encounters where you can see things more clearly. You know, but you can learn to activate it because it's the eyes of your heart that you're activating, and that's a screen in your mind. By just beginning to picture something and just meditate on the picture, and that picture becomes a doorway into the experience, and allow your senses to engage it. So you may feel, you may see, you may just perceive, you may have an impression, but the main thing is God will have done something just to make it real for you. And so the best place to go for me in this is, you know, within our spirit, Jesus says he and the Father dwell, and we know the Spirit dwells in us, and we know that it says his kingdom is in us. So we have this area within our spirit where it's like there is the kingdom of God where God reigns, but he's locked up in there until we let him out. So Revelation 3:20, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is knocking on the door of the kingdom door in your spirit, and he's saying, the handle's on your side, let me in. So when I first look to engage in these things, that's where I first start, because starting there is the place where that first love gate, where intimacy comes from, and entering into intimacy is the key. And so what I encourage you to do, what I hope to maybe, you know, because if you haven't done many of the things like this before, is to just put up a picture of a doorway. And so behind that you can see there's light. And see, that is the presence of God within the realm of the kingdom within you. And after you just look at that picture, then you just close your eyes and just begin to just allow your spirit to engage. So can I just picture that doorway in my own spirit? can I see that I can reach out to the handle of the door and open it? And that is the beginning of engagement. So I would just encourage you, just begin to just meditate around the doorway that Jesus is knocking. He's knocking on the door in your spirit, and he's just saying, yeah, let me in. I want fellowship. So just by faith, choose to open the door. You can picture yourself reaching out. And as you open that door, the presence of God just comes around you, the fragrance of his presence. His love envelops you. Father, Son, and Spirit just come around you. You just sense his love for you, the pleasure of his heart that desires just to fellowship. Just allow your senses to engage with him. Just feel his love all around you, surrounding you. Just feel his affirmation. He affirms you as his child. Now just allow Jesus now just to take you by the hand. And just invite him to take you to the garden of your heart. The river of life, which is flowing from that doorway that you've opened, just flows out through your spirit into the garden of your heart. And just ask him just to take you there, to that quiet place. The Lord is your shepherd. Shall not want. He makes you lie down in green pastures. So just to lie down, sit with him, just relax and lie with your head on him. Just begin to share the desires of your heart with him. Maybe you want to cast your burdens onto him. It's a place of intimacy, heart to heart. Now, if you ask him something, it's good to say, what do you feel about me? Share your heart with me. And just let the flow of his thoughts come to you, the vast sum of the thoughts he has about you. Just let him share with you his affirmation, his love. As you're lying down in green pastures, just sense his presence rest, bringing peace, bringing a deep sense of joy, bringing a deeper sense of his love for you. Just begin to express your love for him. Allow your spirit to lead you in adoration. I'm just running past where you are in the meadow. There's the quiet waters of the River of Life. And just let Jesus take you by the hand and just go and sit on the bank of the river. Just let your feet dangle in the water. Feel how cooling it is. Just sense the energy, even just dipping your feet in the water, the River of Life, the source, the spring of life in you. How refreshing that feels. Now just let him take you into the water. This is not H2O, this is life. So you might want to float. You can dive under the water, you can breathe the water, let it flow through you. Just let the energy from the source of life, the springs of life in you, just fill you. Just look into the water. Living water flowing. I just look around and begin to release the creativity that you have. What would you like in the garden of your heart? That place of delights. Would you like a secret place where you can go and be secret in your intimacy with the Father? Then just release that from your heart. That place of intimacy, that place where desires can be formed, where he reveals his heart. You may want to cultivate and see things growing in your garden. Just allow the creativity of your heart to spring forth. And if there's a precious thing that he may have said to you today, or you have a memory of an encounter where it has been intimate, then you can take that memory or take the words that he's said and just plant it as a seed by the banks of the river. You can make a little hole, or even by faith just say, no, I'm just going to plant this memory as a seed and just water it with the River of Life. And just speak to it. Just command it to grow. And as it grows before you, it's full of fruit, which is the fruit of your testimony, that you can taste and see that God is good. And you can enter back into that experience. So this has just become a doorway for you to experience and to step in to a place of intimacy. And as you continue to step back in this doorway regularly, this becomes a pathway of entrance for you to more. Just treasure these things in your heart. Just allow Jesus again just to take you by the hand. He's your guide. He's the living word. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Just let him lead you back. As by faith, we just step back into this place, into this realm, bringing with us, carrying with us the fragrance, the memory of intimacy, of love, of the shepherd, spending time with us, sharing fellowship and heart with us. Let's just step back into this place. Yeah. So, you know, in these little things, they just again make ourselves sensitive, and we just become more attuned to listening and feeling and being sensitive to it.
I got checked out without knowing it, but I went in the river. Last thing I heard you say is go in the river, and I grabbed hold of Jesus' hair. He grabbed hold of my hand, and we started running up this mountain. And he took me to the top of this mountain, and he showed me this vast... Is it possible to cultivate a garden without knowing it? I mean, he showed me what I'd been cultivating all these years.
Absolutely, yeah. You can. You can definitely cultivate things. Because a lot of the things we've been doing, doing in our hearts, you know, where we've had ministry and where we've been nurturing things, you know, there'll be things there, you know, because we will have prepared some of the soil of our heart. Obviously, if it's hard, then we need to churn it up. If it's weedy and stony, then we get ministry, a lot of healing and, you know, sort of inner healing and that sort of stuff just prepares our heart, you know. And effectively, you know, the garden of our heart reflects who we really are in the realm of heaven. So I've got everything in the garden that I've got in heaven, you know. So did you feel anything there, Torna?
I'm Cynthia. She had to go to work.
Ah, right, Cynthia. Okay, yeah.
I'm just feeling a real peace because he woke me up this morning about 4:20, and I had my intimacy with him this morning. And I was, because she invited me, we took a trip, and I wanted to share this that we were in Northern California. And as we were traveling, you know, we had woken up about 3 to get ready. We were on the road about 4:20. And she, you know, we've been praying and fasting and stuff. So as we were passing in through Oregon, I was just like taking off like on this light sleep. And all of a sudden, I went into this array of colors. I could see a lot of blues and greens just like interacting, and then a flash of purple and just very colorful. But I had this sense that I turned around to look at her, and she was so emotional. And she's a really strong woman. And I said, "What's going on?" And she said that she felt like she had hit this wall, because she's praying for her family and some friends. And so we started. I told her what I was experiencing. I said, I felt, you know, we're so in tune that I said, wow, you're seeing this. She said that in Oregon there's a whole lot of spiritual things going on. And I said, and I'm seeing all this beautiful stuff, because I don't read the newspaper. I'm pretty lazy in reading. So I don't know all these things, but she was talking about how Oregon has a lot of spiritual holds on it and stuff. So I said, well, let's just start declaring all this new stuff, you know, let's put that in the past.
That actually is a really important point. If you keep looking into the things that are in this world, then you will turn into them and they will have a greater effect. If you look into the things of heaven and you look into the things in the heart of God, then they will be able to be released. And too many people spend all their time reading the newspapers, looking at all the stuff that's going on and all the enemy's doing, and the enemy's doing this and the enemy's doing that. God is bigger than all the enemy. If we look into God's purposes and God's plans, and as you say, release those colors and fragrances and the light, then we don't have to be concerned about what the enemy's strategies are, because God's strategies, and as we begin to administer righteousness and begin to rule, then we can bring those things into the earth, because we're looking in from heaven and bringing that here as a gateway. If we look into darkness, darkness gets bigger.
Yes.
If we look into the light, the light gets bigger.
Yeah, because, you know, I always felt that as a child, of course, I was about maybe 6 or 5 when my parents got a television. And, of course, you know, I did watch a scary movie, and it really boggled my mind how that one movie has affected my whole life, all my adult life. So I don't watch anything scary. And I've actually just I sort of stay away from the television because I don't want nothing to control my mind, because I'm learning how to do that, you know, just in that freedom, because I met Michael about 2 years ago, and just to be able to cut all that stuff off has been really difficult for me at this age in my life. But as I'm in the presence of the Lord and all, and then Michael seeing all these prophets and people that are just really out there, has I've created a new world. So praise the Lord for that.
Very good. Okay. Okay. Well, it's been nice meeting you today. I think Mike's gone now. So.